Y'all know what it is. Welcome back to the motherfucking Jazzy Comedy Show. I'm your host, JC Rowe, bringing it to you East Coast to West Coast. I'm actually in Oakland, California, but my guest is repping New York City. Miss Broadway actress Celecia Thomas. Big hair in the big leagues, black hair in the big leagues. Y'all have no idea what we're gonna get into tonight. She's got a beautiful energy, a beautiful spirit, a ferocious smile. Y'all don't even know what ferocious means. It's like ferocious and beautiful and gracious all at the same time. I'm inventing words because of this woman on my show already. You feel me? So y'all get ready to enjoy this. Y'all checking out Ace Hood, Amnesia, represent 2016. Just in case the corona happened, y'all don't forget who the fucking boss out here. Who entertaining y'all? Who bringing the laughs? Who bringing the power? And who bringing liberation to these motherfuckers? So welcome to your Friday night live show using Riverside FM for the first time. Jazzy Comedy Show. We got a couple guests in the building. We welcome you. We thank you for being with us. Y'all gonna see a few fuckers, but that ain't your problem. That's mine. It'll get cleaned up in post-production. But right now for this live show, enjoy all of the bloopers. Y'all feel me? Welcome, Miss Celecia Thomas. And I heard you from California, so I know you already know what we coming with. You know what I'm saying?
What is up? I'm actually in California right now.
You're in California right now. That's what's up. Because I was hoping I wasn't taken away from your, like, 11 to midnight time. That's good meditation time, you know?
That is definitely sacred time these days. And I was thinking about that. I'm like, man, if I was in New York, this would be...
It'd be a much like later call.
Hours.
Right? But so you're in L.A. right now? Where you at? Where you living?
The armpit. I'm in Fresno, California. The Central Valley.
Why? What is such beauty doing wasted in the Central Valley of California?
Okay.
Did you get stuck? You need me to send you a Greyhound ticket or something? I don't even think they fly planes out of Fresno. You got to take like Amtrak
they
or a bus.
They do. It's a little tiny airport. So I'm from here, born and raised, lived here for 18 years before going to college, like in Southern California. But my family is here. Corona got me like all over the place. So I still like live in New York, but this is the first time that I've had like a lot of time to just come home and spend time with my family. Cause
that's real.
It's usually just work.
That's so real.
Blessings in disguise. We'll take it.
That's real. No, that's for sure. And I heard a lot of people from California who's not from here, they've been going home, making the work. New Yorkers not from New York been coming home, like back to Cali. So it makes sense, especially if people are able to like cultivate and show love to those family members who really need it and been lonely. You know they miss us.
Right? You know they miss us.
You know they miss us.
Like in New York, I am a lone wolf. I am very independent. I do everything by myself. And I like that. And New York like encourages that. Mm-hmm. But at the beginning of this pandemic, being in a little box by myself, like for days on end, that was not fun. That was not cute. I'm like, I miss people.
Right. Because in New York, y'all could be paying like $2,700 a month and living in like a 10 by 10 jail cell with Wi-Fi. So you have to live on the culture of the city. You can't really enjoy the hometown presence, so to speak, you know?
Right. Absolutely. I mean, I feel like where you live, it's like a, more expensive than New York, but New York is expensive. Like, San Francisco area is like
stupid.
What? How is this
stupid?
Real?
Look, I give blood and sperm every week just to pay my rent. You know what I'm saying? I probably got 15 kids a week coming out of here because I just got to get paid. Like,
no way.
No, I'm serious. I sell crack on Tuesdays from 4 to 7. Like, it's just a regular thing. I sell mushrooms on Wednesdays, and I sell weed on Thursdays. And everybody know, you know, something for everybody. Because if you don't have seven struggles or seven incomes, you just in seven struggles.
That's actually, like, that's real talk right there. Like, honestly.
You know what I'm saying?
I do. Actually, yeah. It's, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm there with you.
So while we've been in Corona, have you been still acting and auditioning from Fresno? How have you, like, made that work?
Right. No, I mean, like, so Broadway is, like, straight up shut down.
Yeah.
Like, all the way shut down. Luckily, my agents are awesome. I've been doing some commercial work, a lot of auditions for that. And I've been doing a lot of new works and readings, like, through Zoom. Can you hear me? Can you see me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Can you hear me? I can see you.
Look, we all good. It's that live. I had to get rid of that snow effect. The sound wasn't working.
Oh, yeah. No, you look good on my end.
Okay. Blessings. You're beautiful, so thank you for that.
Oh, my God. Thanks.
Hilarious. Oh my God. For those of y'all who can't watch the podcast, the body language is hilarious. Y'all need to tune in on Riverside FM for all of our future live shows because you're missing out on the beautiful and the gracious Salisha Thomas right here in person, live and in the flesh. And since you can't visit her on Broadway right now, this is close as y'all gonna get to her. It's on the motherfucking Jazzy Comedy Show. Welcome.
Like, this show is this is so cool. Are there people watching live right now, or is it an audio?
So we have people watching who can hear us and see both of us, but we can't see or hear them. And then when I publish it for post-production, like any podcast, right, it'll just be the audio version. But the cool thing is, it's the first time that we've had people able to watch while it's happening. So here I keep getting text messages. All right, somebody said, read this to her verbatim. So you're getting requests, Miss Salisha Thomas. Let's see.
Oh, God.
I'm just going to apologize in advance just in case. Say, your audio went to shit once you did that, though. Sorry about the bings. Read this to her verbatim. Why would you interrupt my shit with that shit? Did you hear that shit? You see, this is what brothers do. I thought it was going to be like, yo, tell her how beautiful her hair is. Tell her I'm coming to Fresno for a date or something. He's like, sorry about the bings. Like, I don't give a shit. Look, now he puts, she's gorgeous, though. Look, stop texting me during the show, motherfucker.
See, sorry about the bing. Let me send you another one. Oh, God.
Yeah,
that
so
reminds me of, like, watching Scandal. You're calling the president, and then he picks up and he's on TV. He's like, "Hello."
Oh my God!
Cool.
So how are you making it? I mean, I'm thinking about it from more of an emotional, spiritual perspective too, because I'm all about the spirit, the sustenance. And when I see you, you're vibrating like you're in your flow every day. Like, you actually go on the set and performing and showing out, and you rise up just ready to shine. And so I'm like, but you're doing that while you're suffering like the rest of us. So how are you maintaining? How are you able to put out such beautiful, joyful light? I mean, I say that with all respect and joy, right? Like, I'm really asking for those who just, like, you know, down
thank
in
you,
the dumps.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's like we are literally all in the same pandemic together.
Yeah.
It is affecting everybody, including myself.
Yeah.
I will say that this last year has been such a faith journey. God is like, I'm going to teach you some things. Are you ready? Get the lesson so I don't have to teach you again. I'm like, I'm listening. Can this please be the first and the last time we got to do this?
Look, amen. Amen. For all the angels, the first and the last. The last. The last.
Truly.
Yeah.
Truly. And so I've been really like meditating and trying to like touch into areas that I have been ignoring, definitely upping my prayer life and my spiritual life. Like, I feel bad that it took me this long to get as close to God as I am.
Yeah.
Also, I will say, this was a time I've had like a lot of my energy tied up with something that was not for me.
Nah, talk about that. I need details. All that face, you gotta lay out. What was it? Was it a dude? Was it a dog? Was it a dude that was a dog? Like,
I mean, it. In more or less words, it was a guy who I was so in love with him, and he was not in love with me. And it took me 5 years to realize this. And you know what? I finally, that door shut, and it was a very, like, I don't know if painful is the word, because it's been a long time coming. And when that door shut, it actually felt like I was released. And so that was the beginning, something that could have been like something to break me. It felt like the beginning of a new life. Like, okay, now we can move on. That was literally the next day I started my podcast, Black Hair in the Big League. I had all this energy to tie into something else. I'm like, let's make art. Let's create. Let me call up my friends and make something. And it turned into something really beautiful. And I'm like, wait a minute, I've got the same amount of energy I always have. What was I doing before? Literally just thinking about this person who was never going to come around. Who was just like letting me fawn over him for his ego, whatever it was. I don't know, but we're done.
Yeah.
We're done. There's so much...
I love that, because we put a lot of energy into our quote-unquote partners who are not always partners, right? Sometimes they're just like leeches or vampires that they like use our energy for their own purposes. It's like repurposing a fucking cabinet or something. They're like, I'm going to take all this joy that you give me and I'm going to put it through my miserable fucking brain, and then I'm going to use it in this light. In my own life as my potential light, but I'm really not an original light, so I'm still miserable over here, and I'm actually making you miserable while draining you at the same time. Those people are dangerous. They're very dangerous. Yeah. Now I've seen them.
But disguise, like, and here's the thing. Like, these people who, like, do this to us, it doesn't mean that they're bad people.
Right.
But maybe bad for you know?
Right. Right.
You're not supposed to be in your life or whatever it is.
Right.
So I am just so grateful. And literally, if you found me on Instagram, like, we are on each other's Instagram.
Right.
So I am just now finding my voice. And that wasn't always there. Like, I'm like, oh, this is fun. Mm-hmm. Oh, I have fun when I do this. I'm like, oh, let's do more of that. Like, it has not been like this forever. Like, a year ago, your friend's coming on.
Monkey D. Travanti in the building. Welcome, Monkey D. We can definitely see you. You use the guest link.
Am I seeing right now?
Not the audience link. This motherfucker. Hey, we got Southern California, Central California, and Northern California in the building on the Jazzy Comedy Show. We literally just got hacked by the I Mean Podcast, Monkey D. Travanti, representing Hollywood. Fuck you and welcome to the show, motherfucker. How are you doing?
Welcome to
fantastic.
This is the guy who was texting me, Salisha, that was interrupting our show earlier. And you see how he figured out another way to interrupt our show? What the fuck?
Wow.
This is a determined guy.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear us? Or are you just interrupting for face value?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yep. You the one who was dinging him and saying, man.
Ignore me.
Did he just disappear? Oh, okay. Well.
That is funny. That's so funny.
I don't... I don't even know how to explain that one, Miss Alicia Thomas. You got to forgive us for... I'm getting Zoom bombed on Riverside FM by my best friend.
So wait, you guys are besties?
Oh, that is my brother. We met at 17 during freshman orientation for college. And we've been brothers for the last, like, basically 17 years now. Oh, my God.
That's really cool. Yeah. We love a best friend. Like, we can handle this if it's your best friend. If it's somebody who you're like, I don't even like you. Like, what are you doing?
He's a very interesting spirit, you know. He's very good to talk to. His podcast is amazing. His internet is Baghdad's shitty right now, and so I don't know why he would be interrupting our shit with shitty internet. It's like, get your shit together and then come back on. You know what I'm saying? It happens. Amazing. No, so before we get rudely interrupted by the I Mean podcast, shout out Monkey D. You were talking about finding your voice and really being able to let go of this energy that was like draining you, allowed you to really reinvest into like your own garden. I almost imagine it like, is it Moana? Is that the movie with The Rock? Where at the end of it, it was like I think it was Moana. At the end of it, it was like the fire monster. But she was only a fire monster because they had took her heart. And then as soon as the heart got replaced, she became like the earth island and creating all this beauty and life everywhere.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what you're kind of giving me vibes of as you tell your story, you know?
Wow. That's so real. It's like, it's so crazy, though, because if it was up to me, I'd be like, no, it has to be this way. It has to be him. It has to be this. And really, when I think about even how I was around this person, I was always making myself really small.
Yeah.
I shrinking myself to make sure that, like, he felt like, I don't know. And it's crazy how much I feel like I'm blossoming, not... Yeah. Like this pandemic.
Yeah.
It was teaching a lot. It teaching me a lot.
So when you talk about the blossom, right, it makes me see two things. Because I was just thinking about this with myself the other day. But I'm also, it's very clear with you. I just met you. First time we've exchanged physical words were 20 minutes ago on this call. Right, we did a couple of Instagram messages. So, but I've just seen some videos of you and now you're here and we're having a conversation. So my perspective of you is brand new, right? But I'm seeing a blossom flower already. And for all the feminists, like, don't call a woman a flower. Yo, fuck y'all. That's supposed to be a compliment. Shit. Okay. Like, damn. But, and blossom comes from flowers. Nobody's like blossom books or anything. You know what I'm saying? Like, so let's just address that right there. But I'm seeing you post-blossoming phase, right? You have blossomed. You are light. And you have maybe much more propagation and blossoming to do in your garden, but you have blossomed. So for me, it's hard to even imagine somebody with your words saying, oh, I played small to anybody. I'm like, what? Who? What? Who made you small? Like, was you dating P. Diddy or something? Like, it's really hard to imagine that, right? That also makes me think about my own self, though, and just how I was asking myself the other day. I was like, I can't even worry about how people see me because I'm constantly going to look at myself from a false perspective because I've been around me my whole time. So if I've been around, if I'm 33 years old, I've been seeing me for 33 years. So I can judge myself for any perspective within that 33-year point. But when people are out here meeting me in the street, if they fall in love with my presence or my persona or my jokes or just my spirituality or whatever, they don't even care about that shit. They're just like, yo, I love who you are. Like Currency said, if it wasn't for that, you wouldn't be this. So because of this person, God bless you. You dope, right? And so then it makes me be like, damn, I don't need to judge myself so hard. I just need to be, because the more I am. And people receive that. And that's what I'm getting from you as well. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But you being your most authentic self, energetically, you're going to attract everything on your same vibration. And exactly. So it doesn't do you any favors to be who you think people want you to be, to look, to act, to speak how you think you should be perceived. It's like, no. If you just come to the table being 100% your most authentic, real self, then that is going to send out a vibration that everybody who is on that vibration and everything that is on that vibration right. will just come to you. It'll just right. attract to you.
Right.
And everything in your life will just be like, oh, yeah, this feels good. This feels good.
Right.
Because people come to you who already get it.
Right. Right. It's like, this is right. Now we're all in the same club. And I couldn't see you at first, but yeah, you're here with me and we're on the path together for victory. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I just ordered a book. It's not come yet. My friend was talking about it. I'm like so excited to get my hands on it. It's called like Learning the Habit of It's like called like the Habit of Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. Okay, mm-hmm. Sounds crazy, right? Well, it's about like okay, I've not read it yet, but I'm really excited.
You're good, talk to us.
Okay, let me work this out. I'm going to see if I can articulate why I bought it. When we live out our lives and we repeat bad habits, like if you ever do anything that you're like, man, I wish I didn't do that, it's time to create a new story.
Yeah.
It's time to like unlearn those bad habits and tell yourself a new story to start projecting so that you can live the life you want to live mm-hmm. instead of the life that you've been trapped into, like that old patterns that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm like, let me, like you pick the parts of yourself that you're like, why do I keep doing that? Yeah. I don't want to do it anymore.
And you attack that part.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So I've been doing that.
Come on.
I've been doing that so obviously I smoke weed. All right, I'm smoking right now. Right, I love to smoke weed. But when I started smoking weed, I started smoking it like most young brothers in America, wrapped in Swisher paper or cigar paper, right, which is tobacco. So for a lot of young brothers, we're smoking weed, thinking we smoking weed, but they get us smoking tobacco, and so inevitably I got hooked on tobacco. So now I went from smoking Swishers and cigars and Peach Optimals just to roll my weed to smoking Black and Miles. Now I'm smoking a pack of Black and Miles. Now I'm smoking Backwoods, which is basically a Black and Mile even after you empty it out because it's just so heavy. So now I go from a cat that can run 5-10 miles and not think about it to my heart's heavy and I'm hurting and my breathing is hard and when I get cut, my skin isn't healing as fast. And I'm Negro. Even though I'm light-skinned, I still heal good. That's part of our DNA. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm like, I'm noticing my hands a little bit more ashy. My feet a little bit more dry. And I'm like, bro, something is going on with me. But I juice every day. I exercise. Like, why is my body not breaking down these toxins the same way? And it's like, bro, you just need to stop this shit. Like, some things you can't work around. You just got to cut out, surgically remove. And so it's been about a month now where I've removed tobacco from my body, right? To be honest, this is how raw tobacco affects us on a molecular level. That I am actually still getting used to the new way of brain chemistry on how my brain is processing things because it's moving 10, 15, 100 times faster than it was moving a month ago. Just.
Oh, like in a good way.
Oh, in the most positive way. Like, and it's not like anybody who know me know, like I run politic campaigns. I do comedy, right? I'm already quick-witted and I'm a thinker and I get paid for that, right? I get paid to talk on multiple levels. But I'm like, now I'm just like, yo, I was basically moving at like 35 to 50% on the daily by putting tobacco in my system on the daily.
And now you're...
I mean, everything is like better. Like I said, my skin is much better. My breathing is better. My heart hasn't hurt in like at all in like a month where I was like, damn, do I have a heartache? Did somebody break my heart? Am I depressed? No, I was literally just poisoning myself. And I don't think sometimes we... It takes a corona for me to even look back and be like, okay, what am I doing that's just clearly not working? And that was my big change. And like and fighting it was almost like fighting a spiritual demon. Like to remove tobacco from my day to day, it was powerful. But what it did was it cut my weed intake down, because I'm thinking, I just love to smoke weed. I'm like, eh. No, I was really just addicted to the tobacco. And I'm smoking like a few joints, but I'm not smoking packs and packs and packs. Like, and it's just changing everything. But most importantly, based on what you were saying earlier, the new thoughts is allowing for new relationships, is allowing for new business opportunities. I got offered a club, like somebody's giving me a club. So if you ever come to Oakland, and after May 1st, you are welcome to come perform in any form or fashion at the Jazzy Comedy Club. That would be on 246 Grand Avenue here in Oakland, California.
That's incredible. Like, who the hell are you? This is awesome.
It was a blessing, right? But I'm like, who gives people clubs? But to me, it was like a spiritual. Right. It was a spiritual thing, like almost like the Most High was like, you know what? You've been fighting that one for a long time, but since you did something right about you, let me do something even righter by you, if that's a word or a phrase. I know some atheists like, he said God and writer. He's a dummy. Whatever. I got a club, bitch. Hi.
Get out of here.
I'm wild, girl. I'm so wild.
You're wild.
But so yeah, I'm just processing. As you talk, it's making me think, and it's, I gotta share. You know what I'm saying? Because that was something that I literally had to change out of my life. And so I'm like validating what you're saying in the best way that I can. You know what I'm saying? Like, that shit really works. You feel me?
Incredible. Yeah.
So when you removed the dog man out your life, was that the only thing that you were removing, or did you have other things that you had to tackle that was associated with that relationship that you had to also conquer and remove?
Him, he was just a whole moment, so just shutting that down just freed up a whole lot of other space. But I will say that same moment that I was like, what? It helped me, like, clear out other things as well in other areas. And so before this happened, one of my girlfriends was telling me about, like, a life coach who she went to. I was like, oh my gosh, that sounds awesome. She told me about her experience, a black woman overseas named Raina Campbell. I was like, oh, let me get in on this. But I was like, wait, she's how much? I just lost my job. I can't invest in that right now. But I really do want to. But my friend was telling me about some of the things that she was doing that, like, made the biggest difference, which is what I ended up doing without even trying, which is, like, when you clear out, I don't want to call it trash, but we're in it for this purpose right now. Mm-hmm. When you clear out the trash in any area, it's like Marie Kondoing your mind. So, like, even if you're, okay, so if you have a cluttered desk, even, like, uncluttering just a desk, it kind of feels good. Mm-hmm. If you have a corner of your room or a closet that's cluttered and you unclutter it and you organize it, it feels good. And the same thing when you do that internally. And so when I had done that with, like, as you call him, Dog Man, I feel so bad calling him that. He, like, he's not a bad guy, but, like, just really not in alignment for me.
That's fine.
When I shut
see,
that
you
down.
You a cat, and like, he a dog. It don't work out, you know? Cool cats can't mess with alley dogs, you know?
Oh, shoot. There's a couple other people in my life, like, I had a few lovers. Yeah. And I just called. And they're really wonderful. They're, like, really wonderful. But I was like, yeah, I'm done. I called up everybody on the same day and was like, it's really not you. Yeah. It's me. We can't do this anymore. And
it
just changed the game. And I felt bad, like, hurting people. But I really needed to do that right then.
I love that. I wish I would have learned that in relationships when I was younger. I dated a girl my whole college career. We broke up like 6 months after I graduated. I was like, man, we could have did this like 4 years ago and saved some time. You wasted for me to finish bachelor's? Oh, girl. All right. That was smooth. You got me.
It's the one thing we can't get back.
Ever.
You can get back money, things, whatever,
right.
Your health even, but you can't get time back.
Bruh. I think that's the difference. That's the biggest difference between me in my 20s versus me in my 30s. In my 20s, I'd sit around and let a relationship linger, a friendship linger, even a Negro that I don't want in my house to sit in my house just a little bit longer than I want him at my house, just lingering. It was just, 20s is all about letting things linger around, right? You just be like, but after a while, that lingering started to fester, and then it started to stink, and then you smell it, you be like, you know what? This ain't gonna work. Either you gonna have to go, or I'm gonna have to go, but somebody gotta get the fuck up out of here.
Somebody gotta get out of here! Like, Stacey, like, I don't know who your listeners are. I'm like, I don't know if I'm about to get myself in trouble right
now.
You're
good, girl.
But there was
First Amendment.
Like, if it was somebody who I was, like, resting next to in my quarters, mm-hmm. I would wake up, and I'm like, oh my God, you're still here?
Right.
And I would say in, like, the nicest way, I think it's time for you to go.
Mm-hmm. Ta-ta, ta-ta.
Because it's time to go. It's time to go. We have things
to
do.
Yeah. And see, I think those moments are like when we're in our 20s, when we're just climbing the mountain of ourselves. We're like learning to conquer our own fears. Like, you know what? You should go. That part that feel bad, that's the fear. The part that told that person to go, that's the strength. And we don't realize that till we get in our 30s and we're like, damn, all them times that people said I was being mean, I was being strong. Man, fuck them. I'm about to go be stronger. You know what I'm saying? It's just you shift a little bit. Like, yeah.
I was being wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Because what you learn in your 30s is something called boundaries. That's what I got a sister cousin, because she's my cousin, but she like my sister. But she 1 year, 6 days older than me. She always like, JC, you got to have boundaries. And I'm always like, because I'm a loving person. Like, I'm like, if I got it, you got it. I'm pretty much like that with anybody I'm down with. If I got it, you got it. Anything you see, if I got it, you need it, you got it. I'll go get it again if I have to. I ain't tripping. But that can be damaging over time in patterns with people that may or may not appreciate it, may or may not be able to use it. And she always like, you need to have boundaries. And so as I start carving these boundaries out, you know, you're cutting your boundary, you're cutting lines. So it hurt them and it hurt you every time. But you do heal and realize, hey, I'm not bleeding out no more because of that boundary. Like, there's like a little rose garden there. Them roses creating their own thorns. So ain't nobody coming in that side no more. That's what's up. I'll take that strength, you know, and you're able to kind of keep moving. And people who can appreciate you blossoming, the roses, the gardening, the smell and all that, they don't have to get too close to get cut by the thorns. But it's like, yo, if you come in too close and you ain't supposed to be close, you might get cut, bro, because I got boundaries now. That's the only thing.
Self-respect.
Self-respect.
And honoring
yourself. Yep.
Putting them in place can be scary, especially when people aren't used to those boundaries being there.
Yeah.
But you're not bleeding out anymore.
That part.
The rose blood in there. Wow.
Bruh, I mean, that's just, you
I'm
know.
I'm learning. Right now, I'm learning that. Like,
praise myself.
We're almost there. Like, we're getting closer. Like, and I'm glad that you articulated that you said that, because sometimes it just takes hearing somebody say it.
Right.
That you're like, oh, yeah, that does make sense.
Right.
Yeah, 30 are for boundaries. Let's go.
Right. That's it. And like you said earlier, though, you become better for it. It's like now when I'm feeling creative, this is the kicker. You're going to appreciate this because I already know we vibing, right? Whenever you feeling creative and you in like some type of partnership, friendship thing with somebody, no matter if it's girl, guy, homie, friend, mama, mentor, whatever. When you're feeling creative, the first thing you want to do is reach out to that person and be like, yo, let me tell you about this juicy shit I just thought of. Let me tell you about that. Now, if they not in that same spirit, energy, mode, vibration, they can literally vacuum all of your joy and creativity and then go and just spit it out. And you don't realize that it happened while you were sharing it with them. Because you were just sharing with your excitement. But as soon as you leave, you be like, I don't even know if I want to do that shit no more. That shit was kind of stupid. Man, they did that. They like alchemied your shit into the negative because you shouldn't have been sharing it with that motherfucker in the first place. And I've learned that the hard way 10 times over 10. God have mercy.
Yeah. So what do we do? Because I have definitely been there too. What do you do when you're excited and you want to share? Like, do we just hold on to it? Do we just get to work and put action to it? Do we keep it at our own secret? Well, is that...
Look, D, all of the above, beautiful Salisha Thomas. You hit all of them. I mean, I think that's the power, right? You just got to do it. And then when it's done, people can see it. But it's like it's the sharing part should be done always in the post, never in the pre. I'm really, and I'm not saying I'm good at it, effective at it, or even doing it. I'm just learning the rules in the spirit realm. And it's like, when they say the game is to be sold, not told, that's like the layman's term rule for the spirit. Like, man, sell them niggas a ticket to come see your magic once you already know how to do your magic. But don't tell them about how you becoming magical, because they really don't care anyway.
And they're ready to shoot it down. That is so real. You know what? I'm acting like I'm over here acting brand new, like I don't know that. And I do. I have lived. I wanted to move to New York for so long. And for so long, I asked everybody, I was like, do you think this is a good idea? Like, should I go? And everyone was like, no. Especially since I was asking people who love California. Obviously, if they would be in New York themselves if they thought it was. I'm asking all these Californians, and they're like, that's the worst idea I've ever heard of. Right. You're going to be terrible there. You're not going to work. It's going to be cold. It's going to be hard, all these things. And then finally, one day, I just gave all my ships away, bought a plane ticket, and just went. Oh, before I went, I was able to say, instead of asking, like, should I go, I was able to say, I have decided to go, and this is when I'm leaving. Here's my goodbye party. Like, and there was kind of no looking back.
Yep.
But I had to decide and take action instead of, like, asking, like, everybody's opinion.
Yep.
My journey is not their journey. Like, we've got different paths. Yeah. Like, people can only give you advice based on their own experiences.
Yep.
Wow. And so if they have any fears or trepidations and you're asking about what you should do in that same arena, they can only offer you
their fears. Yeah. And that ain't even yours to deal with. And I didn't get so what they call mean in my 30s, sis, where I tell people, look, that's your problem. That ain't mine. Those are your fears. Those ain't mine. Like, I do that all the time. Somebody come to me, well, I'm afraid that, hey, check it. Whatever you about to say next, keep that shit to yourself. That has nothing to do with me. I don't even need that in my perspective. Because my perspective has to be so strong and focused on what I'm creating that, look, just you deal with you over there. You might not be creating. That's why you can play in your fears. But I'm creating. And if I'm out there building in my actual garden in the backyard, I can't be afraid of the worms, the spiders, the little pincher bugs. You know, I got to go out there, take off my shirt, get my shovel, and get to work. I just got to go to work. And if someone, well, aren't you worried about, look, shut the fuck up. No, I'm not. Well, you know what I'm doing? I'm growing tomatoes and peppers right now. I'm going to put some lavender in so that the future people who might have your fears won't be affected by those same bugs, because the lavender is going to chase them away. So that's my man way of dealing with your fear, but I still don't have your fear. I can deal with it for you, but I still don't have it. So keep that shit over there. You know what I'm saying?
So good. This is good.
Look, it's a mutual exchange of energy right now, man. We just put words to the energy. You know what I'm saying? But there's power. There's power. I mean, when I reached out to you, it was because I already seen your power. And I was like, I need to talk to her and just figure out how she's moving. And that's what's we're unraveling this right now in the best way, right? We're trying to, what white people say, we're going to unpack the situation here. It's like white people always trying to go in somebody's book bag. That's what that shit is.
Go in my book bag.
Malcolm X. Get your hands out my pocket. Don't unpack shit over here, nigga.
Oh my god. Thank you.
Look. But no, I do think about how we how we can move more free, right? And you know, you talked about being in prayer in the beginning part of the conversation, and like Man, there's so much on that because I am terrible with the Most High, and I'm always talking about the Most High, but I already know. I be the type of person that I can feel when my spirit is like, we need to pray. And I'd be like, God, you going to bring me in for like one of them hour sessions? I don't feel like doing that today. I'm sorry. Like, I be that type of dude in prayer, right? I'm like, I'm very sensitive in the spirit. But the thing is, I've also learned to understand that we're not supposed to have fear. The Bible says, I've not given you a spirit of fear. I've given you power, love, and a sound mind. So that prayer time is really just to uncover our power, our love, and our sound mind. Like, that's it. Like, it's not to be anything extra. And that's, you know. So I'm just lazy. The fact that I don't even want to tap into my own power. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, there is a lot of... I've just been so in awe of God lately. Like, I've always been like, church girl, yeah, both my grandfathers were pastors. I've grown up with it, yada, yada, yada. But it wasn't until, like, recently where I'm like, oh, you're the bomb.
Right.
Like, right. This night where I'm most lonely.
Right.
Knowing that I am alone.
Right. Right. You really have a confidence.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, when I have no idea, like, I lost my job this year. I was making bank going from what? And to, I was like, how am I going to survive?
Yeah.
And I am more than fine right now. And it's not because I'm the bomb.
Well, you there are. Christmas,
thank you. But, like, like, I know that I am not doing this by myself.
Right.
And sometimes it's not even like, let me put in a lot of time, and sometimes it's just sitting in silence for a minute.
Right. Right. That's true.
Like, however, whatever the name is, I like to call him God. Sometimes it's a seed, like whatever, the universe, Holy Spirit, however you identify that being, like, they're patient.
Yeah.
They'll wait.
Yeah.
Like, I've been here the whole time, whenever you're ready.
Which makes me feel more shitty when I finally do decide to show up in prayer, and I'm like, yeah, you're just so gently loving me. Yeah, it's something. Because it is like that, and I think it's a weird, and I want to ask you about this and how you feel about what I think is happening is a separation in the world. And I compare it to when the Bible says two people be in the field, one to be taken, one to be left. Two people be in the kitchen, one to be taken. I think that already happened. And I don't think it's like that Judeo-Christian white person, like, oh, they're going to be raptured out of their clothes and there'll be naked people and going to the. I don't think that. I think that it's a spiritual mindset where literally, people can be in the same house, and somebody's going to be taken up in the spiritual understanding of life, and somebody's going to be left in a very carnal, physical understanding of life. And I am wondering how you're working through that, you know what I'm saying? Just as a spiritual person. Yeah.
Whoa, I have never heard that, and I have never thought about that in terms of, when it comes down to, like, logistics and things, I don't have the answers to any of it. So I do.
Okay, that's fair.
You know, I'm like, I am not here to be like, you're right or you're wrong. I do think it's very interesting what you just said. And I have been thinking about that, not in that context, not like in the context of Revelation, but just in life, how, like, there are people who are very enlightened and there are people who are very grounded in the physical world. What they see is real, and if they can't see it, it's not real. And I think that it is very easy to be deceived. There is so much going on that we cannot see. Right. You know how you can have a whole conversation with a person without a single word?
Right. Like the conversation we're having behind this conversation.
How you can feel a person's energy and know how, like, an attitude can enter a room before the person says a single word.
Right.
You can feel like, oh, that person is like all light, all sunshine, or ooh, they're angry right now, or ooh, like, even just on that basic level, like, you can feel so much. that is already, that is not just a physical thing. That is, yeah. When I think about this, my brain wants to explode. There's just like, when you feel overcome with love, like that is something. When you are like writing or speaking or doing something creative and you're in the flow, that something is happening in the spiritual realm for you to be in flow. It's like you have gotten out of the way and have allowed a higher power to work through you to speak, to write that song, to write that rap, to flow, like to literally the flow dance. If you're like open mic something like that's not you. You've gotten out of the way and something spiritual has happened. Like, I don't know. I'm just like on this journey right now and I've been attracting a lot of people who also are on that journey. Right. And so when I meet people who are just like, this is this and that is that, and this is right and that is wrong. I'm like, wait, no, it's not. like, people still believe that? Like,
yeah.
I feel like I'm watching something very archaic.
Yeah. No, I feel that. I feel that. It's, I think I'm, and I deal with that part of life more from a generation perspective. I feel like when it comes to like the seniors, the elders, the, what I call the seasoned folks, because you know, they salty as hell. But I'm always trying to have those conversations. Like, look, it's not as simple as like, I think a primal example for everybody to be able to understand would be like the church versus Cardi B. Like, why does that have to be a one or the other, right? Like, I think there was some beef about whether Cardi B should do a song with Kirk Franklin, and it was a lot of older folks here in Oakland. And Oakland's supposed to be a pretty liberal, progressive, whatever that means, city. They were like, well, Cardi B had, you know, the WAP song, and I'm going to say it, wet ass pussy, so, you know, go get her some more marketing points, build up her money. And they were like, well, that's not going to be a good example to, like, young girls. And I'm like, well, if she do a gospel song, that would be what they're listening to. And it's not like they don't have access to the WAP song anyway. So you're really just trying to bring people over who maybe only listen to Cardi B to now maybe they'll be interested in your church shit.
But, wow, that's interesting. That's a little sister act, too.
Why not? I mean, why not? Because my thing is with the church people, I'm like, look, if y'all carrying all the wisdom, which I'm not saying that y'all are, but if you say you have it, cool, right? Then you should be able to speak multiple languages. I don't expect a quote-unquote a heathen or a civilian or just a regular-ass human being to be able to speak Buddhist, Muslim language, Christian languages. I don't expect them to speak Hebrew of the Jewish Torah. I don't expect them to understand anything of that level because, as you would say, they're a heathen or a regular-ass person. So why don't you talk to them in the way that they understand? You, being that you used to be like them, should be able to understand their language and your newfound Christian language. You know what I'm saying? So you should have the ability to bring them in with a little bit more patience and love. If it even matters.
I hear what you're saying, and I think, like, that is the thing. The unifying... I asked myself this a lot of times in this last year, and even before this last year, how is it possible that I was born into the one family, in the one church, in the one religion, have gotten it right, and everybody else wrong?
Right.
How those numbers can add up to me.
Right.
And I feel like I serve a God who is so awesome. There's no way 24 of us have gotten it right and everybody else is doomed. like there are so many people. And I feel like, okay, well, what is getting lost in translation? What's the unifying factor that we're missing? Because we can come up with all these things to divide us, but what's unifying all of us? And I think this is what I've come up with so far.
Say,
and I don't have the answer to anything, But like, this is what I could come up with as of right now. And I think the unifying thing is love. All these different institutions or religions or whatever, like, I think the core is supposed to be about love. And when things are happening, like, that's what they say in the New Testament. Like, I feel like the Bible in some point says, okay, here's all the rules. Okay.
Right. All 600 like, plus.
If you don't remember anything else, just remember this one.
Right.
Love.
Right. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Forget the judging, being like, I'm right, you're wrong. You go to hell.
Right.
Like, that is not that. Like, you don't get to play judge. Right. It's not your business.
Right, right, right. And mind your business, just for the record.
I saw a TikTok, and she was like, if I am minding my business, and you are in my business, who is minding your business?
Hey, shout out to that lady. Oh, man. If you minding my business, who minding your business? I love that. I need that on a t-shirt somewhere. Oh my God.
Look. Anyway, I'm trying to figure out, like, I feel like if we just love each other, there will be magic that happens.
I don't know. I'm like, okay, so this is where I'm weird, right? Because all of that spiritual stuff, yes, everything we said, right, I'm with all that. But it is very hard to love people and engage with them on a daily basis. I can love people from a distance, almost like how I love the Avengers. Like, I'll never have to meet them. They're just characters. It's like, oh, they're fucking great. Iron Man saved the world. Awesome. I love Iron Man. That's how I love people. I feel like if I ever met Tony Stark in real life, I'd not like him like any other billionaire that I don't like because of the American capitalistic system built on slavery that has created billionaires through the profits of our blood. And we'll leave that one alone. Right. So people is kind of the same way. When I engage with people, I'm like, I can't deal with bitch ass niggas. I can't deal with fakes. I can't deal with snakes. I'm like, I hope God love you because I don't. How do we deal with that? You know what I'm saying? Miss Alicia Thomas, how do we get through that shit? Like,
okay, there is a verse that I hope I'm saying the right verse. I think 2 Timothy 2 and 4. I think it's that one. Okay. And if it's not that, it's beyond that. And it says something along the lines of, something about when you are a soldier, your main focus is to please your commanding officer.
Mm-hmm.
So soldiers wanting to please their commanding officers do not get entangled in civilian affairs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is what the Bible says. To me, you can ask somebody else, they might say something else. But to me, that says there's a lot of petty stuff that happens here. It doesn't matter. If people are being petty, let them be petty. If there's an ego war going on, let them win. Take the hit. Move on. Like, let people, because sometimes people just need to do stuff for their own.
Yeah, this was.
Let them.
Yeah.
Just let them. There's so much more peace when you just let it go. It doesn't matter. Because you're down here for another purpose. Like, JC, like, you've said so many things that you're doing right now. You are on your grind. I just met you, and I can feel that you are on your grind. There's going to be lots of people, like you've already mentioned, trying to tear you down, trying to reroute you, trying to distract you, trying to discourage you, being negative, peanut gallery,
all of that.
Being like, that's not a good idea. You're like, guess what? Nope.
Yeah.
No. Like, petty. Like, let people will be that way. That is how, like, a lot of people, like, there are people looking for drama, looking to, like, people are bored.
Yeah.
You are on a mission. you're here to do something.
Right. Right. 100. 100.
All this other stuff, somebody like flips you off while you're driving, let it go. Let it go.
Now, I had a more serious situation than that. Somebody 2 days ago with my little ones with me, they tried to run in my lane. I'm trying to get over, whatever, whatever. We pull up past the light. Brother man, I rolled down my window like, you good? He rolled down his window like, no, I ain't good. What the blah, blah, blah? You almost hit me, da, da, da. I'm like, bro, obviously you can't drive. You was on the sidewalk. Like, that's a whole nother issue. You know what I'm saying? Your car looked like you done already been in the wreck. Why don't you just keep it moving? You know what I'm saying? Like, I got somewhere to be. You go on and we'll just call it a day. So this is a true story. This happened like 48 hours ago, right? So I'm like, so he's like, no, we got a problem. I'm like, do you want to get out and handle it? If so, just pull up right here and then, you know, we can get out the car or whatever. But if not, I got things to do, bro. So what's up? He don't move. He's just like sitting there. So I make a U-turn, pull around to this car wash, right? Right here in Oakland in the Laurel District. People at the car wash laughing their ass off. They heard me talking to them. They're like, bro, you wild. Where you from? Da, 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 da. I'm like, I'm from Detroit, whatever, whatever. That's just, you know, we're very direct. You know what I'm saying? And so they was just like, oh, we see that, da, da, da. 5 minutes later, brother man pulled into the car wash. Right? So now I'm like, oh, shit. I don't know if he going to pull out with a gun or a bat or a knife or what. Like, I ain't know if we went and got some real quick. Like I said, I got my little ones in the car. Now, I'm outside my car at this point, but I don't want him, like, potentially shooting at me at my car. So as soon as he get out the car, I walk around his car, and I walk directly to his face. Because I'm like, even if he got something, I'm about to grab that shit real quick directly before he got a chance to use that shit. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm in his face. I'm like, bro, you got a problem? Like, what's up? Why you even here? You coming to the car wash? Like, I know you're not washing this piece of shit. You know what I'm saying? He's like, no, bro, you almost hit me. I said, bro, I'm about to hit you. Why are you here? Like, why are you here? Like, literally. He's like, you shouldn't have. I said, see, you didn't even know what you were here for, bro. I said, you got your feelings hurt. You almost got hit, but you survived. You should have kept it moving. I said, your little man ego got hurt while you was driving. So you turned your little bitch ass around thinking you was about to regain or retain some type of dignity. And now you got out your car and everybody seen you pull up on me, bro. I'm in my perfect right and means to put you down like a dog because I have my children here and you are officially a threat. What is your problem? I advise you get back in your car, turn around and get the fuck on, bro. And he was like, nah, bro, you're not going to be talking to me like that. I said, bro, the problem ain't the conversation. The problem is you can't drive, and now you can't even talk. And I'm pretty sure you can't fight looking at your stature. So get back in your car and get the f*** gone. Your car looked like you stole it from somebody who stole it from somebody. Like, you can't even fight right now and call the police. They probably going to arrest you for this driving this piece of shit, bro. Long story short, he got back in his car and he got the fuck on. But it was like a whole 15-minute waste of my time. You know what I'm saying?
True fucking story.
Welcome to Oakland. Oh, my God. Yeah.
I don't even know what to say. I don't even know. Oh, my goodness.
So that's just kind of stuff I be running into. And this might just be my weird ass life. But I'm like, why did you even turn around? That part still perplexed me when I think about it. I'm like, we were done. I went my way. You could have went your way. The story would have been, man, some guy almost hit me. I almost hit him. Huh, whatever. And that would have been it. But he came back. I'm like.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, bro.
On so many levels, that's all I have in my heart is, oh, my God.
I've been trying to figure out. People were laughing. People was just laughing. They was like, this nigga crazy, bro. Like, I mean, but the point is, like, there's people that's not doing anything. And because he didn't have, I guess, any real purpose, he had time to just figure out if he wanted to get beat up or not. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, he decided he didn't want to, and so he got in the car and he kept moving. But that was the decision he was making with his life. Not how do I go get some money. Not how do I go make my life more beautiful today. Not how do I go enjoy something. You know, he was like, how do I fuck my shit up today? And if I have to get you involved in the process, I will do that. And I'm just like, those type of people are very dangerous. They're just dangerous people. And I'm starting to label people like that in my head just so I can, like, more quickly veer from them. You know what I'm saying? Just like the Terminator, just be like, oh, dangerous, up, oh, go somewhere else. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I know.
I've never, like, I don't know, never really a great idea to, like, look for trouble. Like, look, just let it go. It'll walk.
Are you going to sing for us? Go ahead, girl.
No. Oh, I just have India RE in my head, honey. But yeah, so interesting. Yes, I know.
The drama of the Jazzy Comedy Show. That's what makes it jazz music, though. It's the pain with the joy, with the creativity.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll definitely let you know if I'm ever in Oakland. Maybe I'll stop by your club. Like, that's cool.
Anytime, anytime. I'd love to show you around. You're welcome anytime. For real.
That's awesome. That's so cool. I'm so happy for you.
Look, honored to meet you and be able to share some of my craziness with you. In the most beautiful way.
Thank you. No, it's been really fun. It's been really great talking to you tonight.
It's truly been a pleasure. I hope that we can definitely spend some more time together. To let the people know where they can find you if they want to hear and see and feel some more Salisha Thomas in the building.
I'm on Instagram at Salisha Thomas, and I've got a blog at www.salishathomas.com, and I've got a podcast called Black Hair in the Big Leagues. It's on Apple and Spotify and wherever you listen to podcasts, and I'm really just sitting down with, like, Broadway peeps, but also, like, there's a couple Miss USAs in there, and some other industry people, and we're talking about hair, but, like, really it turns into, like, are Black people, how we showing up places,
right?
And without, like, shoving it down anyone's throat, it's just like, this is just our stories, you know?
Right.
And I also have a Bible podcast, which I'm like telling Bible stories, and I'm like, okay, Moses, he was part of the Red Sea, and I'm just putting it in my own words, but, like,
I love that. All right, you gotta tell me a Bible story before we go.
Okay.
And I'm going to try not to reinterpret it in the hood fashion that I do.
No. Okay. We got, I'm just going to go with Samson and Delilah. Okay. Ooh. So you got Samson. Do you know this story?
Talk to me.
It's okay. And it's okay if you didn't. So Samson was born with, like, he has a lot of hair, and his power was in his hair. The angel told his mom, all right, you're about to have a son. Whatever you do, don't cut his hair.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the only rule. Just don't cut his hair. And as he grew, it got so big. And the more hair he had, the stronger he was. His literal physical strength was in his hair. He was literally, like, ripping open lions and, like, just, like, eat, like, killing bears with his bare hands. Okay. Well, there was a woman named Delilah. Did I cut out? Are you still there?
I got you, baby. You good.
Okay. There, and this will be the, like, the short version, especially since my computer is about to die. But there was a woman named Delilah who he, like, that was his, like, girl, right?
Mm-hmm.
But she was from a tribe of, like, the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And she would be like, Nelson, like, why are you so strong? And he'd be like, oh, I don't know. He'd be like, where's your strength come from? He's like, oh, it comes in the rope. So when rope touches my skin, I lose all my strength. So while he was asleep, what'd she do?
She tied him up with rope.
Mm. And then called, like, the Philistines over to overtake him. And he'd be like, oh, Samson, the Philistines are here. And he'd be like, and he gets the ropes off and defeats them all by himself. And she was like, you lied to me. You said that your strength was in the rope.
Mm.
Why, like, really, where's your strength? And he came up with something else. Mm-hmm. Again, when he goes to sleep, this heifer gonna try and, like, overtake him to kill it, like, have people kill him while he sleeps. And once again, he breaks through and he has all the strength. And she is whining, like, why are you lying to me? Like, I thought you loved me, basically. And eventually, I can't even believe, why would he do this? He actually tells her the truth and is like, okay, my strength is in my hair. I just, it's all in my hair. I can't cut it. So what does she do? He falls asleep in her lap and shaves his head. So when the Philistines come, he like tries to overpower them and he is weak. He has nothing left.
Yeah.
So he's like, wait, what happened? He's like, bald. He has nothing. And so they overtake him. They take him as a prisoner. They gouge out his eye. And while he's in prison, he ends up growing out his hair again. And, like, he regains all of his strength. And one last time to, like, get back at everybody else, he's, like, in this arena where all the people are. And he, no one knows that he's strong again. He, like, basically pushes the pillars over. Everybody collapses and dies. He also dies in the process, but he got his, like, revenge. Oh, my God.
Wow.
That's simple.
No, I love that. Oh, my God. First of all, what's the lesson? Like, don't tell women the truth because they're going to use it against you. That's
really
what.
Not
true. That, I was just, you know. He stayed strong as long as he was lying to his girl. Then as soon as he told her the truth, you saying he got weak and she played him.
Well, Delilah, she seemed like kind of a heifer.
Yeah, she was like the thought of the time. That's what that sounded like.
Yeah, she wasn't a real one. Like,
yeah, she had dudes just outside ready to come in. Everything like that's just crazy. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, my takeaway because of where I am at in my life is, your hair is your power and your glory, and live your best self. Like,
I love that.
Express yourself.
Well, I need to grow my hair back out. I just reshaved. Sometimes it's an energy thing, though. I gotta reset my energy. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, it absolutely is an energy thing. And how you wear your hair, it completely changes people's perception of you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes your own perception of yourself. If a woman cuts her hair, like, she... What, who, like, something is going on in her life. Yeah.
Who hurt you? That's the question. Who hurt you? She had to start all the way over. Obviously, she's been heartbroken or destroyed, and now she has to be free. Yeah, it's a lot of that. And it may be that, it may not be that. People need to stop judging, though. That's the point. Like, people really need to stop judging.
Right. There's, like, a lot of power and strength in cutting your hair or in growing it out and wearing it out. Like, sometimes I'll wear an afro and I am like surprised that people are so, it's wearing my hair how it grows out of my head is a revolutionary act,
right? And what? In its most natural state. That's correct, right?
In its most natural state.
When we look like the trees and the bushes and everything else that grows naturally. All good. Blessings, blessings to you, beautiful Salisha Thomas. I definitely appreciate the Bible story and your time this afternoon.
Thank you.
You've been amazing. To our live audience, go ahead.
I've had a lot of fun talking to you. You're fun.
Likewise. No, you're very insightful. So it allows me to like tap into other parts of myself that I don't always get to tap into when I, you know, just walk in the street. Engaging men at the car wash, you know what I'm saying? Like, whole different mental energy. So,
right.
No, I definitely appreciate your time. We're gonna see if I can get this music going, if it's not a struggle like it was in the beginning. But I am honored that you took the time to be with us for real.
No, thank you. I'm about to go have movie night with my parents.
Look, that is love. Okay, here we go. Ace Hood Undefeated. Y'all here with the Jazzy Comedy Show. Not the future internet. Y'all here with the Jazzy Comedy Show. Your host, JC Rowe. We're in season 4, episode 5 with Salisha Thomas, Broadway theater actress, host of the one and only Black Hair in the Big Leagues. Y'all need to check her out. She said she got Miss America guests, she got other Broadway guests, and most importantly, she's on the show. So if y'all just want to tune in to a beautiful, amazing, deep, thoughtful woman episode, y'all should check her out at Black Hair in the Big Leagues. Peace, love, and soul to you, my beautiful queen. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Bye, JC.
Peace.
How the hell can I get better today? I gave myself that confirmation, boy, you already great. I'm undefeated, I feel a genius inside me alive. Took a minute, rewire vision, I finally arrived. You can feel it in every lyric I speak in my rhymes. No competition, I'm totally different, you fully.